This is Back to Life, County Wexford Stories of Derelict Homes, a new podcast series produced by Wexford County Council in conjunction with South East Radio. There are buildings all across County Wexford with stories still waiting to be told. Homes that were once full of life, now standing empty. Shop fronts with potential sitting idle above them. Farmhouses that have seen generations come and go. But in recent years, something has started to change. Across the county, people are taking on these properties, restoring them, reimagining them, and in many cases, completely transforming them. This is Back to Life, County Wexford Stories of Derelict Homes, a new podcast series from Wexford County Council. In this series, we'll meet the people behind these projects, hear the challenges, the setbacks, the unexpected moments, and what it really takes to bring a property back to life. And along the way, we'll also hear how supports are helping to make it possible. Because these aren't just buildings, they're second chances. This week, we're heading into the heart of Wexford Town to hear the story of Andy Doyle from Bugler Doyles, who's breathing new life into the old Coleman Doyles unit on the corner of South Main Street and Bride Street, transforming the former storage spaces above the commercial premises into six new apartments. We'll also hear the council perspective with Tom Banville, Senior Executive Officer in the Planning Department, and Craig Inez from Building Control, who'll talk about the role they play in helping bring these historic spaces back into use. Firstly, I caught up with Andy Doyle as he showed me around the new apartments and shared the story behind the project, how it started, the challenges along the way, and why bringing homes back above the shop makes so much sense.
We've got a really good finish on it. So we have all floors are accessible by lift. Two reasons. One, being a four-storey building, you know, to walk up three flights of stairs on a regular basis is not really practical. And the other, if not, we would have had to put a fire exit out. And it also gives disability access, which is a huge benefit.
There was a shell and core.
Okay.
But the advantage of this building was that it was built from the ground up 13 years ago. It's a concrete floor the whole way through, fully new build, and well insulated and built to a very high standard. Okay. Richard O'Keefe was the builder, and a guy called Victor Bridges done most of the work. And I'd have been in town when it was going on, so I was very conscious of the fact that it was all of good quality.
Bring me back then, I suppose, to the beginning. What did you see when you looked at the building, and what made you think that it was the project that you wanted? Had you been thinking about it for a while?
Because the building was only built 30 years ago, and I knew the quality of the build, and I knew that it was going to come for sale from the executors of Coleman and Colette Doyle's estate, that and as well the fact that it was straight across the road from where I work,
yeah.
It was easy to project manage. Mm-hmm. So if I was to buy another building and an older building, you have a lot of costs involved in that. Whereas far here, the fact that it was such a new building, mm-hmm. I knew the history of the building and it was in such good condition. And it was basically four walls and concrete floors. It was really just an upgrade of the building.
Yeah, and insulation probably.
Insulation, new windows, and then they give a full fit out then. Okay. So you're basically saving yourself the build cost. The build cost in town centre is roughly €300 per square foot. Like, this is an 8,000 square foot mm-hmm. building. Okay. And then the car park was with it. And the fact that it was car parking with it, which was going to be useful for both the apartments and for my guest house over Bugler Doyles across mm-hmm. the road. So it had a dual purpose there. It was a natural one for me to buy, you know.
A lot of people walk past buildings like this every day and they see an empty upper floor, but you saw an opportunity. So what was the potential that you could see that maybe others didn't?
Probably from the history I've had in Bugler Doyles across the road. When we bought it, it was a pub with four bedroom house upstairs over it. So it gave us somewhere to live when we bought it, so we didn't have to buy a house. And I could see the benefit. I lived there for maybe 12 years after moving to Wexford. Mm-hmm. And then we converted, put all the bedrooms en suite, and I could see the benefit of having people living there and coming and going. And the other buildings that I bought adjacent to it over the years, we extended the guest house into. So we ended up with 22 bedrooms. When this came up across the road, I could see that there was potential. And there's so many buildings on the whole main street, mm-hmm. which are basically upstairs of them are empty. And like I've seen it over the last 30 years that I can understand why they're empty, because landlords would have looked at the price per square foot that they could get for the ground floor, and upstairs was relatively unvaluable. So what they did was they maximised ground floor, took out staircases, took out hallways, and rented the shop unit for as much as they could get per ground floor. Okay. With retail gone into decline and rental value has gone down, now the property has actually reversed, and with the grants available, that it now is more profitable to refurbish upstairs, and it's like you're going to have to accept maybe half what you were getting previously for the ground floor. But if you refurbish upstairs, you can still get the same return out of the building, and your building will be in better condition.
So what was the transformation involved then behind the scenes? When did you start all of this?
We got planning first, and then we had a problem with the top floor, that the ceiling height wasn't high enough for residential accommodation. And building control, Craig Ennis and Tom Banville were looking after building control for the council. And they came to us with this problem. Now, and in fairness, they were very, very helpful. They didn't just send out a letter. They came down, done a walkthrough with us, and worked with our architects and engineer to work out a solution. Because to raise the roof to 6 inches that was required to meet building regulations was cost prohibitive. And to not use the top floor made the project unviable, because you still needed the stairwell, the lifts, and the big costs needed to be split over 6 apartments rather than 4. With our architects and Craig and Tom in the council, they came up with an air exchange system for the apartments in the top floor. The ceiling height wasn't a major issue. It was the air exchanges combined with the ceiling height. So they came up with a solution and worked with us. And I found that if you engage with the council and building control rather than firing letters at them or shouting at them. If you, like, I asked Tom, would he come down, look at it, try help me find a solution to the problem, and he did. He came down and they walked through with my architect and myself, and I didn't find the solution, but they knew they wanted this building revitalised. I wanted it revitalised, but it had to be economically viable, and they came up with a solution which met guidelines. But sometimes things were out of their control. The fact that this was a relatively new build, the property was easy enough to adapt. That's not always the case. And the fact that it was like over 2,000 square foot per floor made it that we could put in corridor widths and fire exit lengths and all that. You know, that's not always possible in smaller, tighter buildings. And the problem is that the County Council and Building Control have no leeway. It's national legislation. Okay, and they can't influence that.
Your project started before the introduction of the above the shop support, but it's the type of development that those schemes are trying to encourage. So why do you think bringing vacant upper floors, you've kind of mentioned it a little bit there, back into use is important for towns in Wexford?
Town centre lead life. Like if you look at beautiful quayfront, beautiful main street, like lots to do and see in Wexford. And there's no life after 6 o'clock in the evening. Especially midweek. The weekends look after themselves with tourists and visitors. But midweek, there's no life along the main street once 5-6 o'clock comes, once the shops close. Whereas if all the buildings over the shops were occupied for residential living instead of being vacant, it would bring a whole different life. It would mean that the corner shops would be staying open later. The cafes would be viable to stay open later. There would be more of a buzz about the pubs. And there'll be less antisocial behaviour because there's more people. So the whole knock-on effect is bringing the city centre back to life. Young people and young couples love to live in the town centres. Mm-hmm. They want to come home from work, get a bite to eat, go out, meet people, socialise, have fun. And if there's places for them to live in the town centre, they don't want to live 2 miles away where they have to get into a car and drive. If they can walk out the door and it's all in front of them, it would create a whole social atmosphere about the town. That if every building was being lived in And like, if you take it the full length of the main street, the amount of empty properties upstairs, forget about downstairs. Downstairs, some of the older landlords have to become realistic about the value of their property. They were used to getting maybe 40,000 or 50,000 a year in rent. They're going to have to accept that they're only going to get 20. But if they put two nice two-bedroom apartments on the upper floors with the grants that are available, they're increasing the value of their property and they'll get their rent back that way.
When the apartments are finished and people are living there, what will it mean to you to see a building that was once underused becoming part of the town again?
It'll help bring the South Main Street to life. It'll add more life to it. The Crowning Glory across the road there, Veronica refurbished her apartments there a couple of years ago. There's four or five people living in them.
Just across there?
Yeah, just up there. Just there, yeah. And there's five or six extra houses have been refurbished in Bride Street that were empty. You can see all that extra life has brought to the street at night, even if it's just people coming and going from the house.
Yeah.
It's all to the benefit of South Main Street. The apartments over Lancelot Barbers, they were refurbished 2 years ago. There's four nice little one-bed apartments over that. So all those things help. By me having six extra apartments here, I'd be hoping that I'll have 20 people living here. 20 people will be coming and going day and night, going to work, going to socialise. And also spending money in the area. I have an off-licence, I have a pub. There's shops around here, you know, O'Neill's next door. You know, between all, there's lots, you know, and they'll bring in a lot of extra life around.
From start to finish, what was the timeline? How long did it take?
We bought in October 2024 and we'll be finished for the 1st of September. We'll have everything finished for the 1st of September this year. So 2 years. And now, in fairness, we could have started a little bit earlier because our planning went through quite smoothly. We did a pre-planning meeting with the council. They were happy with the use. That went through without, there was no objections. We could have went quicker, but we were using the car park and the ground floor for the two flats. Okay. In fairness, the revenue created from them paid for a lot of the refurbishment.
Yes.
It made sense to hold off. We started work, physically work in March, but we didn't do many of the major work until after the FLA of last year.
Andy's project shows what's possible when we start looking up as well as around us for new homes. To put this into a wider context, we were joined by Tom Banville from Wexford County Council to chat about the planning process and the role these types of projects can play in town centre regeneration.
I think that's what we have to do with these buildings, these town centre buildings. Mm. You know, particularly like this is a modern kind of build.
Yes.
If you're talking about kind of older buildings, you have to find solutions to problems, be it ventilation or roof heights or narrow corridors or doors that mightn't be up to kind of spec.
When Craig brought up the problem when the initial plans went in, rather than just firing you back a letter saying no to this, he rang and he said, the ceiling height here don't work. We need to come up with a solution. And one of the solutions was to raise the roof height, which wasn't cost effective. Another solution was to lose the floor completely, which made the rest of the project unviable. And then the third solution was that Craig came down here with yourself, done a site visit, talked to the architects, talked to myself, and came up with an air exchange system which would meet regulations on a retrofit building. And what I was saying to Brona was that to get that type of service is like that could have taken 6 months with emails and letters and maybe ended up with the project going nowhere. But whereas by you coming down, Craig coming with you, a solution was worked upon that was still within guidelines and could be worked out. You know, and sometimes people don't realise that if you actually make contact and talk. And I do think that when you have a contact and somebody who'll come back to you, that it makes the projects run an awful lot more smoothly. Mm-hmm. And there are some problems which Craig brought up and have also come up on the Town Centre First committee meetings that we've had, is that sometimes national legislation can't be even bent a little bit to cope with a retrofit in maybe a small old building. You know, whereas I think that nationally, the government and James Brown as the housing minister, these grants are brilliant, and they will do go a long way towards getting town centres revitalised, but they have to give building control at council level a little bit of leeway to work with the owner and the developer to allow them to say, well, like, there's no way of putting a separate doorway here to a shop unit, or we can't put a 1.2 metre access here. We can only get 900. Mick McCormack on the town centre said that sometimes the legislation doesn't allow for that, but nationally that they have to give the councils the ability. I hear the Taoiseach going mad about the councils and about derelict site notices and not following up on them. But sometimes the government have to put the legislation in place to allow the councils work with property owners.
Yeah, and there has to be a little bit of flexibility there, yes, to be able to work, yeah, around.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some things you can't compromise on. You mean you can't compromise on fire safety?
No.
Yeah.
That's absolute given. It has to be a safe building. Yeah. But building control regulations, yeah, I think there could, yes, be some flexibility in relation to,
you know,
some
and, of the... And I have to say that Darren Buchanan is fire officer up in the fire station here in the County Council. And, like, going back a long time ago, sometimes it was impossible to get anybody in the fire service to liaise with you at all. Mm. You know, they literally just waited until something came in and then just said, no, this doesn't work. And all that costs money to redo something. Mm. Like, Darren literally came in here 3 or 4 times during the project and advised us on simple changes. Like, to me, that sort of stuff is invaluable. Yeah.
You have to do that for these buildings because, yes, they're not greenfield sites. Yeah. They're not brownfield sites. They're old buildings, yeah, that need a lot of care and, yeah, a lot of attention, a lot of detail.
Tom, can we go back to what Andy was saying there about you coming down and being there in person and getting that process moving a lot quicker? Are you finding that you're doing that more often? Do you find people are more aware that that is a possibility rather than just sending emails back and forth and back and forth?
Well, I think when the applications start to come in now for above the shop grant, those grants that are now available, which unfortunately Andy wasn't able to avail of, when they start coming in, the likes of Craig, the likes of Mick McCormack will be engaging a lot more with those applications. So I think you're going to see a lot more of that kind of stuff that Andy's talking about,
yeah,
where you will have people, you know, visiting these premises and trying to make them work, yeah, as best they can, and to, like I say, kind of retrofit, yeah, them, and to be a bit more flexible in terms of, you know, the regulations that are there to make them work as homes and apartments or whatever they're going to be kind of turned into. I suppose that's part of this kind of podcast, is to kind of promote that. Those applications, mm-hmm, above the shop living, town centre living, that's really what we're trying to encourage here.
And people probably maybe might not know as well that when these people, like the likes of Mick McCormack and Craig Innes, when they come to the buildings, they're an expert. They know what they know from, yeah, back to front,
yeah,
and you're going in with absolutely no idea.
No, absolutely.
A lot of the time.
I'd say Craig was excellent, yeah, you know, because anything that he didn't have off the top of his head, he always came back to me. And it wasn't always the answer I wanted, but it was the right answer, you know? Like, it wasn't as if he just sort of said, yes, you can do that, yes, you can do it. More times than not, I said, no, that's not possible. Mm-hmm. But you can accept no when no is explained to you, mm-hmm, and there's a reason for it. And from a layperson with no architecture or engineering or fire knowledge, sometimes it can get frustrating, but when somebody explains something to you and it makes sense, then you say, okay, well, what can I do? Some cases, there was nothing you could do that just couldn't work in that case. But other cases, well, if you did this, it was like the air exchange system for the top floor.
Yeah.
And it made the whole project then viable.
By now, you'll have heard Craig's name mentioned a few times throughout this episode. So it's only right that we hear from the man himself. I caught up with Craig in the planning department at Wexford County Council, where we sat down to chat about all things building control and the important role it plays in bringing projects like this from an idea into reality.
So, from a building control perspective then, what happens when a project like Andy's begins? What's your role in helping ensure that these spaces become homes?
Okay, so when Andy's project, for example, started, the first thing he did was the right thing. He got himself an architect and they submitted a commencement notice. And then we reviewed the commencement notice. And Andy will probably recall we had some, you know, discussions and issues and the best way of doing things. And we came to an amicable, satisfactory agreement, solution. And Andy's development is proceeding very nicely. I've been down, I've inspected it during the build. And everything that Andy said and his architect said they would do, they are doing.
Can we get into those technicalities that there was there? So I understand he said there was an air exchange system that had to go in. It was to do with the ceiling level,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, so it wasn't a showstopper, but it was, I suppose, a concern of ours that, you know, there wouldn't be enough ventilation in some of the apartments. And at the end of the day, Andy did exactly what he needed to do. He got a specialist in, a ventilation specialist in, who's going to give Andy an ancillary certificate to ensure that the build is compliant with the building regulations. So it's over and done with, and Andy did exactly what was needed to be done.
A lot of people walking through the town might see an empty space above a shop, but turning that into a home is a major transformation. So what are some of the challenges that can come from converting older buildings? What have you come across?
Well, I suppose the principal one is fire compartmentation, which just means that, God forbid, the shop below the new apartments went on fire. There's time for the people to get out safely, and also for the fire brigade to get there and reduce as much damage to those properties as possible. So that would be the primary concern.
And then in terms of building control, what is that? Because a lot of people might hear it and not really fully understand what it means. So can you explain what your team's role is and why it's such an important part of the process?
Okay, so building control sums up as complying with the building regulations, and myself and my team are there to help you comply with the building regulations. And the long and short of it is, people say, oh, it's 200 years old, this building, how is it going to comply with the building regulations? Well, there's a rule that you create no new or greater contravention of the building regulations. So you're not expected to build or bring a 200-year-old building up to modern-day standard, but you're expected to not create any new contraventions. So don't make steps higher. If you put in new staircases, make them compliant with the current building regulations. But it's not, again, something to get all up in a knot about. These things can be got over, and buildings can be brought back into use quite easily.
We spoke to Yvonne earlier in the series from the conservation side of things.
Yeah.
Do you guys work alongside each other to consult?
Yeah, so we have Yvonne and other people here who will give us advice. And needless to say, there are exemptions in the building regulations for protected structures and for buildings of, you know, architectural heritage importance. So it's not just protected structures. If, you know, there's a building and it's got some architectural features, we don't need those knocked out in order to, you know, put in some airtightness tape. You know, everything is done pragmatically and sensitively.
With more focus now on bringing vacant buildings and upper floors back into use, how important do you think these types of projects are for the future of our towns? I know Andy mentioned antisocial behaviour and that kind of thing. So what are you seeing in terms of the differences it's making?
It's obviously very important for creating, you know, an atmosphere in the town, vibrancy in the town. Before I worked for Wexford, I worked for Galway Corporation, and obviously Galway is a little bit of a shining light on, you know, how to run a city with festivals, etc. But also, one of the leading lights in the department was from Galway, and he often said about Galway, it was about getting people back into the city centre, into properties, vacant floors above shops. You reduce commutes. Galway is thronged with traffic. So if you live in the city centre you go for a stroll in the evening. You've basically given yourself no headache that a lot of other people who are commuting from outside have. So it's important for environmental reasons as well, climate change, etc.
And looking at projects then, finally, where an old commercial building has been given a new life as a home, what do you hope to see more of in towns like Wexford over the coming years?
Effectively, you know, my father-in-law was a Wexford man, and he said, a house has to be lived in. And, you know, once we get these properties on the main street lived in, things like slipped slates, flashings that have, you know, torn or leaking in water, all of that just gets dealt with in a timely manner, and we don't end up with a huge project when we could have had just a little bit of maintenance along the way. Please don't be afraid of these projects. We're not looking for you to jump through 50 hoops. We just want them to get back into use in a safe manner. Please submit a commencement notice, would be my final words.
So that brings us to the end of the penultimate episode of the series of Back to Life, County Wexford Stories of Derelict Homes. From Andy's story of transforming unused space to hearing from Tom and Craig on the planning and building control side, we've seen how collaboration can help bring forgotten places back into use. Next week, we'll wrap up the series with a special final episode, looking back at some of the highlights, key lessons, and the best advice shared by all our contributors throughout Back to Life, County Wexford Stories of Derelict Homes.